Thank you all so much for just a wonderful time in worship today. Amen. How many of you all are glad to know that God always comes through? God always comes through. And that's a characteristic that I want you to know of God. God always comes through. And I mean, you can go look at history. You can go look at people that have followed God. And so today we start a sermon series that's going to go for 10 weeks. And we're going to look at some characteristics of people. People that were just like you and I. They were what? People. And they lived in a moment of time. And they decided to yield to what God wanted them to be versus what the world spoke them to be. And isn't that really the battle that you and I face each and every day that we live? God, I want to follow you, so I want to listen to what you have to say, and I want to do the things that you would have me to do. But then there's a whole world, and how many of you all have noticed this? The world says everything opposite of God. The world says, go be great, and God says, humble yourself before me. The world says, make as much money as possible, and God says, you already have enough. God says, you know, to love one another is greater than anything. The world says what? Hate those that oppose you. I mean, it's a tough gig. But we're going to look at one of my favorite, he's one of my patron saints out of the Bible. This guy is incredible. Genesis 6, Noah. If there was ever a man that had a tough job, it was Noah. And I look at Noah and I'm like, what made Noah special? What characteristics come out of Noah? What screams from the pages of Noah? First of all, we see this. In Genesis 6, verse 5, mankind, humankind, had been created. Is it still here today? It's in here. Mankind, humankind, has continued on because of the righteousness of Noah. How many of y'all have noticed this? Humankind, mankind, can become wicked. Anybody touched a little wickedness this week? Not that you were it, but you've been around it. How many of y'all been around some wickedness this week? How many of y'all knows that stuff can happen? How many of y'all knows that comes up quicker than you think it will? And it's around us all the time. All the time. If y'all want to see our church really, really blossom, really bloom, really come out, there's a prayer I think that's worthy of praying. God, give me clean hands and a pure heart. God, give me clean hands and a pure what? And you really need to pray it in this order. Lord, give me a pure heart so I can have clean hands. I found when you get a pure heart, your hands clean up faster. I found that you can clean your hands and have a corrupt heart. I found that you can do good things on the outside with a corrupt heart on the inside. I found this, though. It's impossible to have a pure heart, a real pure heart, and want to do corrupt things. And it's interesting to me that Jesus does not change us on the outside first. He changes us on the inside so that our outsides will transform. Well, here's Noah's dilemma. Let's look at verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5. Here's this, humankind has been created and humankind is doing its own thing. How many of y'all have ever seen just people go do their own thing? Now, Coach, I saw this Friday night. You know, you kind of try to coach players, and then sometimes when players go on the field, they'll do their own thing. And here's what I've discovered. I was reminded Friday night that when you do your own thing, it's never good results. My poor Louisville Cards, they have found out once again that there is two parts of the ball. There's really three parts of the ball game. You must have a defense. And so when you celebrate an offense that can score, that's wonderful. But if you don't have a defense that can keep the other guys from scoring, you usually lose. But you got to do what? Does anybody know in football what makes a defense work? Does anybody know? It's not fast players. It's not tremendous athletes. You must tackle people. Now, seriously, in life, guess what? In life, a lot of us blow the big events of life because we won't do first things. See, this is an American tradition. We want the ultimate without doing the fundamentals. Oh, I hear this in church all the time, especially when I do leadership conferences. Every young pastor wants a fantastic church without paying their dues. Every young attorney wants to make $250 an hour before they ever handle a case. Huh? Amen. At least doctors, we let them practice with somebody that knows what they're doing before we turn them loose on their own. Amen. How many of y'all glad medical school has a residency? How many of y'all glad to know that when that young surgeon is doing surgery, there's an older, experienced surgeon that's done a lot of those surgeries looking over them as they work on you? How many of y'all would feel confident with this, all of y'all that are so hepped on book work? Your surgeon walks in and says, I've read about this surgery. I've studied this surgery. I've done a paper on this surgery, and I made an A on it. But you're my first with the knife. You know, I'm not confident in that because you know what I know? I learned this a long time ago. What works on paper doesn't always work in reality. See what I'm saying? And it works in everything. Noah's in a wicked land. How many of y'all have ever been in a wicked land? Three of you. Good. Where the rest of y'all live? Y'all live outside Bowling Green? Wickedness surrounds. This is not a new phenomenon. But I just want you to know, this is an ancient text here. And I love the Old Testament. In fact, people ask me, they say, man, how come you don't preach a lot out of the Old Testament? And I said, well, first of all, we got to get Jesus. And then we'll back up and show you how it all put together. But you know what? Every time I preach, you're going to hear about Jesus. Because if you don't know about the cross and the resurrection and he blows the horn on Wednesday, you've got one hell of a problem. Literally. And I want you to know that. And so I'm not here so you'll feel good, and I could really care less if you're comfortable. I'll leave that up to my colleagues. I want you to be saved. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that you must have an incredible relationship with him. I want you to know that that's not optional. And also believe this, there's no other way into heaven except through Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you something in this Noah story. When God makes a way, that's the way. When God makes a way, that's the what? Now, how many of y'all want to go another way when God makes the way? How many of y'all are like that? How many of y'all are like that? As soon as the group leader plans the direction you're going, you have an addition to the way. Were any of y'all like that? Y'all say, well, that's a nice plan, but what if we did this? How many of y'all realize that when you get with God, sometimes you just got to follow the plan, whether you understand it or not? Now, this is Noah's predicament. Pastor Jamie, he says this, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Ah! Aren't y'all glad we're past this? Now think about this. This was a moment of time. Now guess what? This was the time that's actually got more evil running in it than our own time. Because we don't have a cross in this moment of history. We don't have a Jesus in this moment of history that has brought in the covenant of grace. We got the order of the law. And people's hearts, look at this. If y'all want to talk about your law, that's how powerful it is. It will not change the hearts of man. You all know this. How many of y'all understand if I give you a rule, you won't follow it? Like, watch this, Chuck. Don't swallow. What are you thinking about right now? Swallowing. You know? Bob, don't scratch your nose. What's it doing now? Itching, isn't it? It wasn't itching before. See what I'm saying? It's our heart. Now, look, it's very interesting that the Bible declared this. He said, the heart of man. The heart of man. Not just the actions of man, that his very thoughts, his thoughts were inclined to what? Evil. And see, when you get your thoughts toward evil, your actions are coming. That's why the Bible tells us in what? 1 Corinthians, take every thought what? Captive, because not every one of them going to be good. How many of y'all just have some thoughts that are rotten during the day? You got to take them captive. You'll have thoughts like this. I'm no good. Is that true? Absolutely not. God's made you. You're good. Watch this. Could I participate in evil? Yeah, so I better be aware of that. Could evil crawl up and get a hold of me if I allowed it? Absolutely. Does Jesus have authority over evil? Absolutely. Here's the battle. Now, Noah's interesting. We got a wicked time. I just want you to know that there are people that have had hard times before us. Do you reckon Noah was stressed? What do you think? I wonder what stress management seminar Noah went to. I wonder how he got relieved. I wonder how he got through his human moment. Well, here's what he did. He believed God in spite of what the world said. And he goes on and tells us this. Look, verse 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. This is an interesting image of God. God was grieved that he had made mankind. Please, don't get in this situation. Don't live such a life that God would be grieved that he made you. You all know, hey, some of you all have had children that have grieved your heart. You can feel this relationship with God. We have that scenario even with our children, don't we? We raise a child to have all kinds of opportunity, and we give a child a shot at a great life, and that child decides to turn away from everything that would be beneficial and go plunder their lives. What does that do? If you're a parent with an ounce of love in your heart's grieved because that child is not becoming what they could be. Now, if you really think about the grieving of God, humanity here in this moment of time is not living out what they could be. And God says, I'm even sorry that I made them. Instead of them listening to the Creator and what they could be, now every inclination of their thought is evil. Now, let me just warn us. If you don't, you know, this big five that we talk about, this big five that we talk about, that's not just some cliche repertoire around Hillview here. Okay, watch this. If you don't keep yourself influenced by true things, wicked things will overtake you. What do you think, Dr. Ward? Absolutely. Dr. Ward, not that you would have a problem with this, but I've found out if people don't work out on a regular basis, their bodies reshape themselves. How many of you all found that out? How many of you all found that out? Something's got to be in motion. How many of you are glad to know that as human beings, we were made to be in motion? We were made to be in motion. Well, so's our thoughts and our hearts. They're made to be in motion toward God. Motion toward God. Watch this. When we worship God, we can hear Him. When we learn what He says and listen to what He says, even in the evil, evil culture, we can stand strong. We need to build some great relationships with righteous people. I'll be very blunt here. Keep negative people out of your life. God said, tell them the good story. He didn't say, listen to them on a cell phone. My life changed 3 years ago in a celebrative way of living every day. You know what? I just don't give negative people a long time. I'm courteous to them. I'm nice to them. But if they're going to be negative all the time, I just don't want to hear them, because let me tell you what they're doing. They're polluting my thoughts. Amen. And I can't hear God when I hear their fertilizer. Man, that was God ordained the way I said that. And Noah is circulating in this wickedness. Every thought of humanity is wickedness. God is grieved, Pastor Jeff, grieved that He even created humankind. And then He looks. And so with all that, I just want you to know that God loves you, and He really wants to celebrate how you live your life. How many of y'all realize that? I think when we care about other people, God smiles a little. What do you think? You ever look at God smiling? Gee, my grace is working. The truth in humanity does change them. There's also some, you know what, here's what I've found. I got to just tell you a best Jewel story. That was my grandmother. My grandmother knew God kind of in an Enoch kind of way. She just walked with Him all the time, so it wasn't unusual for her to have godly thoughts. For me, it's just kind of, every once in a while I get a godly thought. Well, I'm really amazed by that, because I have some other thoughts. But for my grandmother, that's just the way she lived. Now, this is what amazed me about my grandmother. You could be the deepest, nastiest crook in the world, and she would find something good in you. My mother's the same way. I could be acting up, and she would find something good in me. And I always wondered how she did it. I thought maybe she just had, you know, she was magic or something. You know, moms are magic. They can put a Band-Aid on you, heal you instantly. You know, they got powers of Jesus when you're little. I wonder how my mom did it. And then I realized my mom was so close to God, she could see what I could not see. Because she was listening. But I'm going to tell you, God will find favor in you if you stand. And really, the battle of life comes down to this. When it's all over, who do you want to be proud of you? I mean, you can go the Frank Sinatra Elvis way, and you can sing the song at the end of your day, I did it my way. You know, Elvis, fat dead, the king, died on a toilet. Boy, there's a beautiful exit. He did it what? He put his blue suede shoes on, and he rock and rolled, and he did every drug that was coming down the world, and he had fame and fortune and Cadillacs and Harleys. But he's what? Dead. You're not going to sing your way into heaven? When he met Jesus, he went, I'm the king of rock and roll. Jesus said, yeah, and I'm the king of kings. I'm the final authority. I'm the judge. I'm the alpha. I am the omega. I am the I am. I am your reality. Yeah? Here's Noah hanging out with wickedness. How many of y'all had to hang out with wickedness this week? This is what I picture wickedness like. You know, the mall after Thanksgiving. Just a whole culture of that. You know, people going, just wickedness. Just ever thought is about me. That's where wickedness comes from. Just everything is, what am I going to do? And what am I going to get out of it? And how am I going to be blessed? It's just this wicked thinking. And God, though, he looks up and he finds somebody. The Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth. This is not good when God says things like this. You don't want God to say, I will wipe you out. See, I think God's been real patient with a lot of people. Sometimes I watch Bill Maher on HBO just because I want to see what the atheists are talking about. And Bill's just an outright atheist. And I just think every time I hear him just smart off like he's got it all figured out, I'm going, you know, he has no idea how patient God is. Because God could just vaporize his little self right there. But God chooses not to, because God will not be manipulated by our evil. He will stay in his righteousness. He's going to wipe, you know, this does not sound good to me when God says, I'm very disappointed with humanity. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wipe them out. Now here's what I want you to know. Evil will wipe you out. Don't play with it. Don't get around it. Don't mess with it. You all know as well as I do. I've messed with it a little bit, and I have found it will wipe you out. How many of you all have kind of run a few tests on that and found God was absolutely right in what he said? You get around evil, it'll wipe you out. Let me give you another heads up. You put your fingers in the light socket, it'll shock you. How many of you all know that? It'll shock you. You can put anointing oil on your head and pray and say, dear God, stick your finger in there, and you just have oil on your head electrocuted. There's some things you don't mess with. Evil. Evil thoughts. Evil thinking. But there's an interruption. Look at here. He said, I'm going to get them all too, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground. And the birds are there. For I am grieved that I have made them. They become really evil. You know, you've gotten really evil when your creator looks at you and says, I wish I hadn't made that. But come on, some of y'all, as parents, sometimes I've looked at a couple of things my kids did and do, and I made that. I made it. You know, as a parent, every time you let your child get by with something, you're making that. Every time you choose not to discipline your child, you're making that. Every time you run into the teacher and say, "I can't believe my precious baby made an F," you're making somebody's marriage miserable. And it starts in the first grade, because guess what? You start excusing her in the first grade, she thinks she's excused for the rest of her life. I can do what I want to and it doesn't matter. You start intervening for him and giving him excuses and he'll never have a job. He'll always have an excuse why he doesn't need one. Johnny, you see it every day in the work you're with. But then there's favor. It's real. See, we don't like these kind of texts in American culture today. This just does not fit our politically correct society, does it? Boy, this kind of wipes out the hippie Jesus. You know, up in my magic balloon with love, helium flying all over the globe, and we can do whatever we want to do, and everything's going to be okay. Reality. Watch this. Here's what I love about God. Even in our innermost conscious, we know better than that. Even in our innermost conscious, we know that's not true. We know if we keep doing what we want to do, we destroy some of the things that are very valuable to us. How many of y'all have discovered that? Yeah, it just happens. But then there's truth. Now, watch this. Here's the good news. God has found favor with Noah. God looked around, and in the midst of the wickedness, there were still some that were listening. His name was Noah, and his family was listening. How many of y'all understand? There's a prize for listening. God will find favor in you. And no matter what everybody else says, I tell you what, at the end of this whole ride called the human experience, you want to make sure God's found favor with you. You know how you find favor with God? Listen to what he says. That's the way you find favor to God. You say, "Well, I do a lot of good stuff. He's not impressed." Listen to what he says. Because when you start listening to God, you're going to see what nobody else can see. Look at here. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He had three sons. He was blameless. He walked with who? Can I preach just a minute? Will y'all let me preach just a minute? Hold on. Who are you walking with? Tell me, in this moment of time. Jesus. Who is Jesus? Y'all are awful quiet about this. Now, I know y'all been going to the Billy Bob Murley Sunday School class, and they teach these things there. Jesus is what? God. That's what got him crucified. Jesus is God. He's not a prophet. He's not a teacher. He's God in flesh. Jesus is God. Who are you walking with? God. Y'all realize the same God Noah was walking with is the same God that is walking in you. That ought to give you some pep in your step on a Monday morning. Say, wait a minute. I got a Noah God working inside of me. I got the power of a God to stand strong in the midst of wickedness. Wickedness is not new. Where does wickedness really occur? It's in the heart. Here's the first step into wickedness. I want what I want, and that's all I want. Did y'all get that? I want what I want, and that's all I want. It starts at 2. Wickedness starts emerging at 2 years old. It's in all of us. Our first words are what? Mine. Our eyes even roll back in our head when we see it. And then when we get to kindergarten, somebody messes with my what? Stuff. And we pick up now the Nerf block because we want to be very safe. Back when I was in kindergarten, we had real wood blocks. And we threw it up against our buddy's head when he got in our stuff. See how quickly we can do that? When I went to school, we used to fight. We had fights in school. Now, they were nice fights. We didn't bring out guns and knives and bombs. We just had a little scrap. And even back then, the teachers would let you scrap just to see. Sometimes it'd work itself out. Because if you got a hold of the wrong guy in kindergarten, you would respect that dude until he graduated from college. I'm not doing that again. You can have your way. But you see how these thoughts work? I want my way. Now, what did God do? He looked at Noah with great what? Favor. Why? He walked with who? Who are you walking with? Then let God's favor begin to envision your life. Now I got to show you what happened. God's going to send a great flood. How many of y'all realize that? They're going to send a great flood. I don't know scientifically exactly how all the flood works. I just know there's going to be a great flood. I'm a preacher, not a scientist. So here's what I want to tell you. You mess with God long enough and you don't do what he says do, you're going to die. Now, I found that to be consistent. Is that simple enough that we... See, I like to kind of get to the bottom line. You don't listen to God, you die. Here's what y'all don't see. You can die pretty. I see people, good-looking people all the time dressed up in coffins. I've always wondered, what do we dress up for in a coffin? I remember Clacy one time, she's about 4 years old. She came up to me, and of course, we go to a lot of funerals, and she tugs on my britches like that. And she looks at me and she said, Daddy, I have a question. I said, yes, honey, what is it? She said, why does everybody die with their tie on? And I said, Clacy, that's why I don't wear one. They are deadly. Dangerous instruments. You know, but it was a pretty good deduction. Everybody she had seen that had died had a suit on. Now, Clacy's smart like me. Clacy puts logic together. Hey, if you don't want to die, don't wear a suit. But here's what I'm saying. If you don't listen to God, death is inevitable. Y'all understand this? Now here's the characteristic of Noah that stands out greatly that I want you to receive today. Listen to God no matter what's going on. And man, that's tough to do. Because you know what? I'm just going to be real confessional. I behave better when I win. Been a rough weekend. Guess what I want to look at? Losing. When you look at losing, you forget who created you. I'm serious. When you look at what you don't have, you will always forget what you have. Always. Jeff, you've been through that grieving process. Well, my dad's not here. You can look at that. But you also can build an ark and say, but wait a minute. Because of the cross and the resurrection, he's there. See, one brings great grief and the other brings extraordinary comfort. Where are you going to look, church? I want to look to the power of God. I'm not saying this is easy. What Noah tells us is, he never said it's easy, but he says, I'm going to walk in the way of the Lord and watch this. And I'm going to end here today. When I walk in the way of the Lord and I learn to listen to what God says, God will make the impossible possible in my life. Now follow me here. Is everybody following me? Because you're going to start getting some God logic. When you can hear God, you'll be able to see what only God sees. Now look at Noah's dilemma. Here's the instructions God gives him. He says, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm listening, Lord. But I'm not going to destroy you. I found favor with you, so I'm going to show you something you've never seen. I'm going to put you in possibilities you've never been put in. He said, here's what I want you to do. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. By the way, I just want you to note this. God's not into violence. He said, well, he's fixing a flood of earth. It doesn't sound like it yet. But why? We become violent. Now, God received our violence on the cross so that we might receive his grace from heaven. God's very consistent. God's putting a hold on wickedness. It's interesting how he handles wickedness. He what? Washes it. I mean, he could just easily send fire. He said, that's round two. First round, I'm going what? Wash. Second round, I'm going to eliminate. It's always a forgiving God. Now, this is how we all want. How come we don't get round three? Round four? Because let me tell you what. I really believe this. If you won't listen to the grace of Jesus Christ, then you're not going to listen to anything else. You're not. I mean, how much more can God do? He's always building arcs. This isn't the only ark God builds, in my opinion. He's an ark-building kind of God. Wickedness, deliverance, darkness, light. He's always exiting us out of the problem to his realm of thinking. So he shows Noah what has never been seen. He says, Noah, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to flood the earth. He said, the people are corrupt, so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Now think about this for a minute. Yeah, like I've seen an ark of cypress wood before. Now think about this. Noah is showing him, I mean, God is showing Noah what to build, but Noah's never seen what God's showing him. You say, well, that sounds weird. Pat, I believe in heaven. Do you? I haven't seen it, but I believe in it. I believe in Jesus Christ crucified. I haven't seen the actual crucifixion with my own eyes, but yet I've seen it with my own eyes. Does that make sense? But I believe it. I believe in a scientific, illogical proposal that a human being was crucified on a cross, laid dead for 3 days, and early on Sunday morning stepped out of a tomb. I believe that God reversed a scientific impossibility. Were you there? Well, I wasn't there at that moment of time, but I've been there. Because I've been crucified with Christ and I've been resurrected with Christ. Makes sense? Now, this is going on with Noah. This is a characteristic of people with faith. They can begin to build what nobody else can see. Now, I want you to know, when you get a word from the Lord, all y'all getting words from the Lord, I just want to show you in the Bible, when God gives a word, it's down to every detail. God doesn't give a word like a fortune teller. In fact, I've heard a lot of these God words, and I can't figure out if I'm in New Orleans or in the presence of God. Like, this would be very suspicious to me. Chuck, next week, you'll probably see a boat, thus says the Lord. Well, I got some good odds on that one. Amen? Now, if he said, you'll see a boat, it'll be 62 inches long. It'll be 12 feet wide by 2 inches. If it gets that detail, and it'll have purple carpet in the bottom of it, I'd start listening then. Because I want you to hear the detail God goes into. He says, notice the way I want the ark. He said, this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long by 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. That's pretty big boat. 450 footer by 75 wide. Still, the brother's got to put his mother-in-law in here. I think that's what this upper deck is for, this private room. See, God takes care of the detail. And he said, make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches from the top. Pastor Mark, how detailed is this? Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on earth to destroy all life under heaven, under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, taking the family. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all, just a comment here, just a sidebar, and I'm going to get finished. How many of y'all, y'all's righteous walk from God will take the family with you? I mean, your relationship with God vibrates with such joy and such boldness and such obedience that it'll bring the family with you. It will if you keep it up. That's why we dedicate babies like Heather, because Sam and Cheryl, we want the radiance and, if you will, the vibration of the Jesus in you to get on her. And that your faith would bring her with you to God. Do y'all see how detailed this is? 18 inches from the top. Hold it there. Because here's what I want you to know. When God's telling you something, He knows exactly what's going to go down. I always test it when somebody gives me a word. Always. When somebody says, the Lord wants me to tell you this, I say, well, shoot away. And they'll go, do you believe that's of God? I said, maybe the deeper question is, do you believe that's of God? What do you think, Earl? Earl, when you preach, did you have everybody giving you a word from the Lord? You have a whole appointed crew. They give you a word. Most of these people don't have jobs to give you a word. That's what amazed me. I told a lot of them, I got a word for you. Work. Because if you notice, when God gave Noah a word, oh, Dr. Ward, this is going to be awful. What is God calling Noah to do? Work! Isn't that awful? That David Jones, God could have just like dropped in a pre-manufactured ark, don't you think? But no. He says, no, we're going to build it out of gopher wood. Hold on, it's a very important characteristic. If we'll listen to God, if we'll stay believing in God, God will allow us to build things in our lives. Guess what? That nobody can see until we build them. Jim Martins, I believe that this little building project, in a way, is kind of a, you know, it's a micro ark. And you know what? We hadn't launched it yet because we didn't get the final details yet. I got to study and note. I said, hey, this looks like one of our building projects. We hadn't gotten to the 18 inches from the top. And once we get that from the Lord, then guess what? Let's go build it. And why are we building it? So that little guys can learn about Jesus so that they don't have to perish in a what? Wicked culture. Because you know what? MTV is going to keep building. And I don't think Hollywood's going to go to family-friendly shows anytime soon. Do you? Did y'all see the commercial for Desperate Housewives? I ain't never seen no housewife look like that. Those look like Hollywood housewives. They need to change the show. Any woman dressed up like that, she ain't desperate. She's rich. And any man going out with a woman like that going to lose his money too. So you got to get to the truth. You know. Woman's got a bunch of diamonds on and she says she's had three husbands. Run. Learn to be true. Yeah. Wickedness says, I want to glorify myself. Righteousness says, God, what do you want? He said, I want a boat 450 feet long by 75 feet wide. Leave 18 inches from the top. There's going to be a great rain. There's going to be a great flood. There's going to be great destruction. But I have made my covenant with you, Noah, and we'll come out as I have planned. Now build that in front of the crowd. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building God's ark. You idiot! What's an ark? We've never seen an ark. What's a flood? We've never seen a flood. Rick Thompson, this ain't like some Somerset houseboat flowing out at the lake. Rick Thompson, they've never been to the lake. They live in a desert. What kind of God would build a boat in the desert? I tell you, the same kind of God that'll swing from a cross to set you and me free. So today, walk with God in such a way that you can hear Him and let Him show you what cannot be seen. So Steve, I think our job is still like Noah. In a real sense, we come together as the church to make the invisible visible. You build a 450-foot long boat by 75 wide. You know God's up to something. Well, our job is to build lives through the grace of Jesus so people may know God's up to what? Something. Does this make sense? Character number one, Noah. Characteristic number one, Noah listened to God when nobody else would and built what nobody else could see. He made covenant with God. If we went on to the rest of the story, I'll give you the finish line. And Noah survived when nobody else did. So here's the deal. The glory of the crowd or the ridiculousness of God? I think I'll go with ridiculous. Give me be ridiculous with God by grace. Amen? No matter what they say, things can be done. Amen? Did y'all get something today? Did everybody get something today? Here's what I want to tell you. Don't give up. Don't give up. When it all looks like it's over, hang on. God's always got a surprise. Amen? How many of y'all know that? Nick and Sandy, you came to this church divorced. That's the way you say it in Kentucky. I got me a divorce, which is a divorce. What did the world say, Sandy? Huh? Stay that way. You'll be what? Happy. Self-satisfied. You will find your self-conscious, your self-identity. You will no longer have, what's the problem we all got now? Self-esteem issues. God said you'd made a covenant of marriage, and if you stay in the covenant, you're going to be what? Blessed. Well, you went back to the covenant of marriage, and even in Nick's old age, he was able to reproduce a beautiful child. You get in the covenant of God, and He will trump, hold on, the natural and bring your reality to the super. How many of y'all believe that, or am I just going crazy?
Yes.
See, here's what I figure. If God will do it for Noah, He'll do it for Billy Bob. Can you imagine a Kentucky ark? Now, Billy Bob will have a little information now. Lord, you want that like a bass boat on the back end, or would you rather just have that plane? Lord, faith, I can go over to Jethro's house. We done ripped off 225 Johnsons. We stole them down at the dock 2 years ago. We'll put them on the back of that boat, Lord, and we'll be able to go. Guess what? God said, just Billy Bob, just build it like I what? Told you. Here's a characteristic. Listen, and let me let you know something. I'm going to end on this. I wish I was a better example of this in my life. Details are everything. I don't know about you. I like 8 o'clock because I can say, you know, as you age and you all go, yeah. The new service Sunday night, if you went, as you age, they'll go, what are you talking about? How many of you all found? Don, you know, you're aging a little bit, don't you think? I mean, we went to school together. I mean, not ancient, but, you know, seasoned, amen? Have you found the older you get, it's the detail things that make a big difference? When I was young, I never noticed the details. Now it's the details. I always wondered why my grandfather took his pocket knife to a Christmas present and it looked like neurosurgery. He would cut the tape. I mean, it's 30 minutes to get back at you. He would fold the Christmas wrapping paper into a perfect square and set it to the side. Tape cut on each side of it. And then he would celebrate the gift. But see, my grandfather's details were to make sure that nothing was wasted in the gift. I was too young to know that the wrapping paper had as much presence as the gift inside. But now I know. So I'm calling you today to listen to God. That characteristic. Just today, church, we could enter a powerful revival as Pastor Jamie and Jeff preach the rest of the day. If we'd say, dear God, I want to hear you in such a way that I will make visible the invisible realities of God in my life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I want you to stand right now. Here's your first opportunity to do that. This is invisible. William, it's called grace. It's invisible. But here's the way it becomes visible. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've been wicked. Is he going to send me a boat? Nope. One better. He's going to come to you. His name is Jesus. He's going to say, come here. You who's caught in wickedness, take my hand. Because I died on the cross and I've risen from the grave and I'm real. And I'm going to take you out of this wickedness into the realm of my Father's world, where great joy replaces agonizing sorrow. Where impossibility, it fades away and possibility becomes reality. I'm going to take you there, says Jesus. Maybe you need to come today and just pray and say, God, I know I need to be building. In this service, how many of y'all need to be building? I don't know how big your boat's supposed to be, but God's told you something. Yeah? I do know this. Every day, Dr. Blevins, I'm supposed to hammer out a little love. Saw up a little joy, if you will. Plane off a little peace to the world. And now as I build this boat, I got to be patient. I got to be kind to those that are helping me build. And Eleanor, I got to be self-controlled. And George, the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, as it leaks out of this place we build, the salvation of God comes forth. Amen. So in a real way, we all got a Noah assignment here at Hillview. Build a church. Build it, Hillview. Create a place that is so in love with me that when the wickedness of humanity can't stand it anymore, they can come aboard and understand my salvation. Amen? So here's what I figured. Wickedness isn't going to go away, but I got some good news. Neither is the deliverance of God. So let Him deliver you today. This altar's open in the name of Jesus. If you need to be baptized, if you need to come and ask Christ in your life for the first time, if you need to come and just pray, if you need to say, how many of y'all could come and just thank God? How many of y'all are giving in such a way it builds God's reality? Do you realize every time you tithe, you add a board to the ark? Do you realize every time you do something wonderful in the name of Jesus, board? Today, there's going to be people teaching 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 2-year-olds, and there's people holding babies right now. Guess what? Adding a nail, adding a board. Can you imagine if we all did that together? Wow. 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 Well, let's do it. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open, and it's your place to come and hear and listen. Come, be baptized. Come, be saved. Come, rejoice in the Lord. It's your moment.